I'm speaking with Linda Nemec Foster and Anne Marie Ullman about the Lake Michigan Mermaid, a tale in poems. Ladies, what is it about mermaids? Why are they so fascinating?
Well, I know for me, it's that sense of the other self. It's that sense of the myth that may be real, that we imagine and use in our lives. And I think that's one of the reasons why so far this book is really resonating with a lot of audiences through you know, across ages, you know, through different generations. So I think that may be it.
What do you think, Anne Marie?
Well, I think Linda's right. I think in terms of the myth, it's sort of a projection of humanness onto the spirit of the lake. I perceive the, you know, our particular, I think we all love mermaids because we know that some inner source of water is, it's the beginning of everything.
Right.
And that we want to make a persona of that and to make a beautiful creature and have it interact answers a longing in all of us to go back to that water womb spirit place, I think. And so Linda's right. It's that connection with the inner self and the greatest outer self at the same time.
Right.
So I think there's a lot of that deep psychological stuff that attracts us to this particular story.
And also the whole idea of a personification of nature.
Yeah.
Of you know, we want to link to our surroundings so much, to the sense of place, the sense of the nature around us. And when we look at the spirit of Lake Michigan, we imagined the mermaid as being that spirit of the personification of that lake.
So tell that story about how the two of you had this idea and came together.
It is something. It is something. Well, I will begin, and then Anne Marie will finish. So anyway, we were, Anne Marie and I, we've admired each other's works for a long time, and we were in an anthology together from Michigan State University called Fresh Water. It was not poems. It was essays and short fiction about the Great Lakes, not just Lake Michigan, but the Great Lakes. So both Anne Marie and I had pieces in this anthology, and the editor, Allison Swan, had various readings around the state, and she had a reading in Saugatuck at the Saugatuck Center for the Arts about 10 years ago. She had a reading for this event, and Anne Marie and I sat next to each other. Now, I think, Anne Marie, you had an essay on Lake Michigan, correct?
I did,
And mine was on Lake Erie, because it could be all the Great Lakes. And I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio. I know Lake Erie very well, and it was an essay about my mom, and that is what Allison took. But we had this wonderful little reading. I was sitting next to Anne Marie at this reading, and someone in the audience said, and the question was, it's too bad there's not a Lake Michigan mermaid. And there was some laughter in the audience.
Yeah.
And I was sitting next to Anne Marie. We kind of looked at each other and smiled. And then, Anne Marie?
We're both a little, I mean, we're both like, even in that moment, like, what? There's no Lake Michigan mermaid? You know, that, you know, it's just that kind of little check on each other. And then I'm driving home, and I have this three-hour drive home from Saugatuck back to the Traverse City area, and I'm thinking about that line, and I have a new cell phone. And Linda and I had exchanged phone numbers on while we were together, and I'm thinking about this mermaid, and it starts to come to me that something ought to be done to, you know, there is no Lake Michigan mermaid. And I had her number, and I wouldn't do this today, but this was a hot new cell phone, and it's 10 years ago, and I picked up the phone, and I hit the button, and she answered it. and this is late at night.
Right.
This is kind of late at night, and it's and I'm on the road, and I'm alone, and I say, Linda, isn't there something that we could do with this mermaid thing? Like, you're a poet, and I'm a writer, and, you know, what could we write letters to her? What could we do? And Linda just said, I want to be the mermaid.
But Anne Marie knew from the beginning that it would be a project in two voices. okay. from the beginning.
Yeah.
That it would be two
yes.
voices, the voice of a young girl. We weren't sure about the details of her life, even the age so much, but it would be a young girl and a mermaid. And it would be Lake Michigan, okay. on the shores of Lake Michigan. And that's when I said, I want to be the voice of the mermaid. And I remember Anne-Marie saying, I'm so happy because I wanted to be the voice of the girl. So.
Perfect.
And Linda, if you look at the poem stylistically, Linda has this very elegant lyrical style. And my voice is a little more practical. And it fell into place that the troubled girl, typecasting there maybe, would be the person. Her poems would drive the narrative
right.
because this is really a story
right.
too.
Mm-hmm.
And that her poems, the girl's poems would drive the narrative mm-hmm. and the mermaid's poems would be the lyrical atmospheric commentary.
Right. And the lyrical response to that storyline, the plot development, the narrative. Yes.
Yeah.
So give us something yeah. of a storyline. What happens? Who is this girl and this mermaid?
Her nickname is her name is Lycretia, but she's called Lyke for short, and she doesn't like her name, Lyke. She protests against it, and she's in a troubled household. The father has disappeared. The grandmother lives with the mother and the daughter. They have this ramshackle cottage on Lake Michigan, and there is a threat to the cottage. There is danger that the cottage may be lost, and she's so unhappy with the situation in her home life that she keeps going to the water, and she thinks she sees something out there, mm-hmm. and she starts to become obsessed with it, and she goes out onto the ice caves in the winter to seek this thing that she keeps thinking that she sees, and that launches it.
Yeah, and another thing, too, we know that the mermaid is seeking companionship, too. Now, the mermaid is alone in the world. You know, what's her family? What's her circle of friends? Nothing. She is the entity of the lake. She is of herself, mm-hmm. in herself, alone. But yet, she wants to seek companionship, too. So there is this reaching out to the girl in a beautiful way, you know, in those poems, too.
So what was the writing process for the two of you? It's very different working as a team.
Mm-hmm. It was call and response. I would describe it simply as call and response. Anne-Marie started the process with, I think, Anne-Marie, you sent me 4 or 5 poems to begin.
At the very beginning, we were just exchanging one at a time, but that quickly... You know, quickly the momentum started
right.
to escalate and we wanted to do more.
Right. And I remember when that momentum did start really going, you know, when you were, mm-hmm. for instance, emailing me, let's say, four poems, and I would respond to each piece, not mm-hmm. thinking of a grand scheme, but just step by step. Poem by poem, linking the voices and the different reactions between the narrative line, which Anne-Marie explained pushes the story, and the lyric response of the mermaid. So it was a wonderful, very gradual process that kept building on, you know, on each poem.
But at some point, the two of you got together, physically got
yes.
together to work on
yes.
the poems together.
Yeah, have a weekend retreat.
Yes, yes. There would be pauses in this process. Like that sometimes there would be several months would go by and we'd be deeply involved in our lives, or things would happen and we'd have to take care of family and all that sort of thing that happened. But finally, we were in another anthology together, Poetry in Michigan, Michigan in Poetry, and we were at another reading together and connected again. And Linda said, I want to push this. I want to really see what we can do with
right.
this. Mm-hmm. And so she found
a ramshackle motel on the lake in Manistee. Remember the wood paneling?
Yes. Yes. It was right on the lake and it was kind of worn, you know, the dark paneling and you know, those funny floral bedspreads.
but it worked.
And we hammered it out. I mean, mm-hmm. we really settled in on Friday afternoon and started really serious work.
Mm-hmm.
And we found that we worked well together because Linda's a night hawk and she likes to write late mm-hmm. at night.
Hence,
I'm a morning person.
Yeah. And remember when I answered the phone call late at night, Anne-Marie couldn't believe that I answered the phone when she first called me on the road. And I am the night owl. So our circadian clocks worked.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So it worked beautifully because Linda would leave me notes for me to go over in the morning, and then I could begin to respond, you know, while she was still sleeping, and I would have that, and then we'd have the afternoon to share revision process, and then in the night, things would, you know, she'd get her inspiration again. And so it was uncannily appropriate that we have these different patterns, and it worked so perfectly to finish. And at the end of that weekend, we had the whole story intact.
Right.
And we knew what we had then, and we were kind of startled and astonished and sort of pleased with ourselves.
And very excited because that weekend, I think before the weekend started that little retreat, we had maybe 18 done around there. And by the end of that weekend, not only did we complete the manuscript, but the narrative became so clear. What happens to the girl, the grandmother, that's also in this story?
And also, we knew then that it was also about a love of water. That whole thing about embodying the spirit of the lake became clear to us that weekend too.
But then you brought in a third entity, which is absolutely crucial to this book.
Yes,
because I'm looking at this book right now, and it is gorgeous,
beautiful.
So, talk to me about the third person that brought this whole thing together into life.
Yes,
visually,
I had talked a bit to Zinta about the process of finding an illustrator because when we did approach Wayne State University Press and they accepted it on the condition that it be fully illustrated, it needed that. And you can sense how that art is so important to the story.
Oh, yes.
And we actually went through three illustrators before we found the right one. And this, ladies and gentlemen of the radio audience, this isn't your Disney mermaid. This is a more reflective, quiet tale. There is no fairy tale ending, but there's a redemption and reconciliation at the end of the story. But we needed something more deep and abstract and meaningful in a deep way. And we found Meredith Riddle. And we're so pleased. She was the perfect choice because she got the story. She got the tone of the story, the voices of these women, the mermaid, the young girl, even the grandmother, the mother. It all came together, and Meredith was just super to work with.
Yeah. And it has this beautiful blend of watercolor, pencil, cutout. And the palette is the lake's palette. I mean, I couldn't believe when she got the colors so perfectly, you know, the mood of the lake or the many moods of the lake, rather. The other thing that I think is, you know, she left the mermaid and to some degree the girl a little bit less defined. You know, anybody can look at this book and have an identity.
Yeah, and you don't see their faces full on. You see a profile, a line, a shadow. And I know when we met with the mermaid team from Wayne State, we call them Team Mermaid. It must have been in September of, 2016, I believe. And I saw for the first time Meredith's rendition of the mermaid. And it's in the book. I was stunned and startled. And I'm thinking, this is it. She got it. This is this powerful essence of the spirit of the lake. And I was just so excited to see that.
And there is also an illustration. You know, this is, we're so lost in this now. She also had an illustration, not right away, but shortly after that, of the girl. And you just see her with her little stocking cap on and her arms are thrown out to the water. And it was a gesture that I was familiar with because I have that impulse myself when I go to the lake if I've been away for a long time. And I thought, oh, she just felt something in all of us, and I think all of us who love the water. So brilliant, brilliant illustrations for the story.
I would love to have the two of you in the mermaid's voice and in the girl's voice to read at least one poem each.
All right. That sounds good. So do you want to begin, Anne Marie, in the girl's voice?
Yes. And this is sudden. And this is when she might, maybe she's seeing a little bit. So it's called sudden. Far out, a flash, a fish. But not. A sleek and leaping thing, an arc alive, painted morning fog, golden gray, then low, a humming, almost song. Graham hums along. You, out there, I can't see you. Can't see past that flash, light on light, strange dance. But I hear you. Not the distant freighter that fills the morning's foggy air, not the muffled gull. Your sound runs under that, almost a syllable, a splash, the lake, made of glass, trying to speak. Bring that sudden syllable. Graham raises her head. Quick, too quick, she says.
What I almost say. No, it should be what I almost sing, since plain speech eludes me. My mouth fills with water, not words. Songs of the waves are the closest thing to language I possess. In winter, my voice is silent, a frozen wave. In spring, I am the water. You dream about water, water, whispering in each heartbeat of the moon.
How magical. So now we have a Lake Michigan mermaid.
Yes.